Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this sunny Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I think we've seen how not to handle a quarterback negotiation over a two-year period.
I think we could have possibly seen that. It was a good day to be Dak Prescott yesterday, for sure. What did you think of that deal? What did you think of that contract? $66 million guaranteed. Not bad.
Yeah, $106 million in 15 months is going into his bank account.
Yeah,
how about that? $106 million.
My goodness.
Hey, you know, what we all get into journalism for. you know, it was crazy. So what was wild was Monday morning I was talking to somebody who was on the inside of things. It was real quiet. You know, the Cowboys had leaked left and right last week that you know, they felt like there was a sense of optimism. And it got real quiet on Thursday, which either means everybody's shutting up because things could go really badly, or they were actually getting some traction. And I think things moved pretty quickly on Monday once Stephen Jones and Todd France, Dak's agent, got basically locked in one-on-one with each other. And, you know, when I talked to somebody Monday morning, I said, look, I think it's going to get done, maybe not by the tag. They said, if it doesn't get done by the tag, and this was someone who's on the inside of it, he said to me, I bet you this ends up being a five-year, $200 million deal in July that averages 40 per, and everybody walks away from the table feeling like they have a win. And this person in particular said to me, that's what's really important here. Both sides are trying to figure out a way to engineer a win here, because obviously Dak was going to get a win, but the Cowboys needed to feel like they were getting a win walking away after losing so badly. And so, you know, really what Dallas got out of it was, you know, Dak's number being $37.7 million under the franchise tag dropping down to $22.2 because it's a six-year deal with two voidable years that stretches out the signing bonus. You know, in a weird way, Dak was aided by COVID. Like, it was because the Cowboys got put into a situation where they were going to have a salary cap crunch here, and it became, you know, a potential win for them to try and lower his number in a tougher cap year. And then, you know, if you listen, I had a chance to talk to somebody with the Cowboys, you know, they're going to put their best spin on it, and the best spin is this. Hey, we wanted him for 5 years last year. We were, you know, we couldn't make it happen. That was the impasse. And if you add in last year's salary franchise tag, this is a five-year deal. We got last year. We got four on top of it. It comes in at $38 million a year. Yeah, that's tough, but Jerry signed quarterbacks to market-leading deals with Tony Romo. He signed quarterbacks to market-leading deals with Troy Aikman. It's what he does. He's fine with that, and that's our comfort level. That's, of course, leaving out that they could have had Dak after the 2018 season heading into 2019 at $25 million per. They could have had him, you know, last offseason if they would have just gotten to 35 per and taken the 5 years off the table last year. It is what it is, you know, and I think it's Dak betting on himself. You know, this just never – I can tell you there's no player where I trotted out a new number over the last 2 years and people just lost it. I said $25 million for Dak 2 years ago, and everybody's like, are you out of your mind? Agents are like, that's crazy. Teams are like, that's nuts. Then it was 35. No way. You're not getting Russell Wilson money. Like, you know, even if the quarterback market's going up, well, here he is at 40, and he's 27, and there's no franchise tag. There's no trade tag or no trade clause, which means that the Cowboys are going to be motivated after year three of this extension to go back to the table, which means at 30 – he's going to go back to the table. And if it's another four-year window, means at 34 he goes back to the window, and maybe 38. That's four deals in, you know, between 27 and 38 years old. He could, I mean, realistically, guys, Dak Prescott could be a $600 million quarterback by the time this is all done.
Yikes. Man, that is.
That's crazy.
So what does this say, Charles, if anything, about what's coming financially in the league? Is this a comment on what Jerry Jones expects? With the cap?
Yeah, what I thought was really interesting with David Kanter, who's an agent, you know, he mentioned it when I was tweeting out some stuff in the thread. David Kanter replied to something that I tweeted out, and he said, you know, hey, just this, I would think Jerry knows something, and I think David hit it right on the nose. I think that, you know, Jerry's on the inside of these TV deals. He leads the TV deals. I mean, he is the guy when you're the networks and you're trying to cut a deal between he and Robert Kraft. I think he knows that where the TV deals are going to come in, and he knows that the gambling revenue, as states continue to open up over the next 5 years, it's going to mushroom. And I think he knows that revenues are going to be very, very good. I think he tipped a little bit sort of where things are going in the NFL, particularly the way that the contract is structured. You know, he's going to take with those voidable years at the end of the deal, and then having, you know, probably to sign a whole new deal again in 2024. I think he knows, you know, hey, there's going to be an astronomical amount of money that's going to flow in. And if there was probably one common denominator of what people were saying, like texting me yesterday when this deal hit, and whether it was teams or agents, that was it. It was like, wow, the TV money must be really good. And there are some people who believe that the league's going to double their TV contracts, that they think that there's a chance that this TV contract is twice what it was last time. And I mean, that's just, if that happens, if they double the TV contracts, I mean, you're looking at a $250 million salary cap in 5 years. You know, I mean, something like it, just insane, even with the rollback.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Charles, the news of the day here locally has been Isaiah Wilson, the Titans' first-round pick, traded yesterday to Miami, basically swapping seventh-round picks with Miami. What have you thought of this whole Isaiah Wilson situation, and how surprised were you that Miami's taken a shot on Isaiah Wilson at this point, given everything that's happened?
Given what Wilson said, you know, and even in the social media posts that were stripped out later, I mean, like it was, you can't, his actions were enough. But then when actions cross into words and someone just, you know, essentially declaring I'm finished, you know, with this franchise, particularly when it's someone of that age, you know, had a first round pick spent on him, and, you know, the franchise is bending over backwards trying to, you know, get things right with him. It stinks when you're in that situation. It becomes a dump situation, but it happens. I mean, you get guys that, just for whatever reason you think are not, you know, mentally mature enough to handle, you know, everything that gets laid into their lap. You know, I think of Dwayne Haskins with Washington. As soon as he walked in the door there, within a couple of months, all you heard from inside that franchise is he's not mentally mature enough to handle what's coming for him. Not what we're giving him now, and particularly not what's coming down the road when he's going to have an opportunity to be a starting quarterback for Washington. And, you know, I think that it's just you're not happy with it. You had a terrible offseason with other acquisitions. I mean, it was this – you know, look, 2020, basically the period from – you know, February until camp kicked off in 2020 is probably when John Robinson will try to completely block out of his memory for as long as he possibly can. Now, you know, you can look at other deals. You know, Derrick Henry. I mean, there have been other. He's had some wins there, but there were some really big losses, and you just can't have a player like that, given the number of transgressions that occurred, and particularly when it gets taken to social media. Teams will suffer, you know, a lot of thorns and a lot of problems. They feel like they can turn a guy around. But when it's all landing on social media for everybody to see, you know, teams move to pull the plug pretty quickly on that. And, you know, it's interesting, different player, but sort of a similar situation. Trent Brown, you know, the Raiders gave Trent Brown a ton of money, brought him in from the Patriots. And I can't tell you how many conversations I had with people inside the Raiders organization that were just like, we got to get rid of this guy. Like he's not getting it. There's too much stuff going on social media. We don't trust him with COVID. There were just way too many problems with him. And I think he was gonna be cut. I was like, that guy's absolutely getting cut, by the Raiders. So for them to basically give him away back to the Patriots is emblematic of, you know, a franchise that once you lose trust in a player and he's taking it to social media and just doesn't want to be there, there's very little that you can do in that situation. And I think it's those two cases show it's when a guy's got a ton of money and can just blow you off, or when a guy's young and just doesn't want to hear it. Those are probably the two situations that teams are probably quickest to pull the plug on.
Well, let's go through some other Titans' greatest hits. Who and how much is going to pay Jadeveon Clowney? Who is going to pay Jadeveon Clowney how much? There's the sentence.
Good. This is a good question. He's going to have traction. And the reason why I know this is because when Watt became available with the Texans, and teams thought that there was a trade possibility there, a number of teams reached out to the Texans, and then, you know, when Watt was cut, or released, obviously, you know, so many teams were interested in him, and I think that shows that teams are they're going to be in it for anybody who's got, you know, a decent level of, you know, whether it's pass rush ability or ability to hold the edge against the run or whatever, they're going to reach for those guys, and that's going to create a market for Clowney. And so I think, you know, look, Yannick Ngakoue, you know, Shaq Barrett, there are going to be a few different guys who have pass rushing ability. But I do know that some franchises that were interested in Clowney prior to him landing with the Titans, we'll see what their cap situations end up being. But, you know, whether it's a Baltimore, whether it's a Cleveland, there are going to be some teams that still think he has ability to come in. And, you know, look, if he's in the offseason program, if he's healthy, if he's working out, if the teams – I mean, teams are going to want him in the facility. I mean, I think that's going to be vitally important. But what I think was interesting is I was talking to an executive who was telling me they would have interest in Clowney, and he said the one thing I look for is just the organization to firebomb him, like frag him, just kill him over what happened. You know, just it didn't work out. He expected to just see a litany of, you know, stories just really roasting him. And the fact that it never happened led him to kind of reach out to people that were familiar with the organization and ask, like, hey, are they completely sour on the guy? Do they hate him? You know, do they hate the, you know, the mistake? And the answers he got back were no, you know, it didn't work out. And there were some things that the team would have done differently, but, you know, he wasn't someone that came into the locker room and was a cancer and that kind of a problem. So it's not like an Ndamukong Suh where a guy walks in the door and within a year or two, you're trying to turn around and get him out because you kind of feel like you got what you could on him.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. Charles, really appreciate you taking time to join us today, and great stuff as always, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys, and welcome back, Robbie.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Charles. When we come back, we'll react a little bit of what Charles had to say there and get into that Dak Prescott deal a little bit more. Great day to be a Dallas Cowboys quarterback yesterday for Dak Prescott. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rexrow here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.